God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. You can build a paradise or wall yourself into a tomb or kick against the holy wound.
Alrighty, well, each week at this time, we like to welcome Les Visible to do an audio commentary. He's quite well known across the world through various blogs in which he writes his commentaries, but he's like a musician, a singing, talking poet. There's a passion in him when he speaks. And we enjoy when he speaks his piece. And so he comes from across the pond, somewhere in Europa, in the mothership, as he says, to bring this week's commentaries, socio-political, metaphysical, from Les Visible.
The mothership resonates into the dark haze of materialism that chokes the planet. The tiny repeater pod takes its position above Clear Channel's main transmission tower, and the information wraps itself around the noxious propaganda, like alien music, which transforms the propaganda into harmless audio confetti. It's now becoming the inert matter you read about on the back of packages of processed food. The alien music is burrowing into the collective DNA and whispering words like freedom, awake, and other things. Tune your mind to the inner light and let us burn away the cobwebs of a vanishing age. Welcome to the Dog Poet Radio Show. Perk up your ears and wag your tails as the Chief Walker removes the leashes from your neck and transfers them to the newly forged collars of your former masters. I'm surprised that no one has mentioned it yet, that Israel was involved in an assassination plot against Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan. Well, there was some amount of coverage in the international press. I'm thinking that this was the key motivation behind Erdogan walking out on Perez and Turkey denying Israel the opportunity to participate in recent war games. It wasn't about Gaza. The video of the exchange between Erdogan and Perez has been scrubbed from YouTube because of use violations. It's available in one of the preceding links, but you'll have to go to Smoky Mirrors to click on them. I've been noticing the tension between Turkey and Israel for some time now. Turkey was supposed to be one of Israel's best friends. Truth is that Israel has no friends, just people who fear her and people who have been compromised by her. If you wind your sinuous way into the past, you will find that Israel and Turkey have an interesting relationship. Insert the keywords Ashkenazi Turks into a search engine. The Ashkenazis make up more than 80% of world Jewry, and they are not of Semitic origin. This is a key to understanding why they immediately changed the names of the Arab towns, where they have either killed or driven into exile all of the inhabitants. They need to corroborate what ancient texts claim is so, and what modern research has proven false. The Palestinians are the real descendants of the people in the Bible, not the Ashkenazis. The Ashkenazis mean to graft themselves over the original inhabitants in a search for legitimacy of their claims that they originated in the lands which they stole from the Palestinians. If your sole purpose for studying anything is to discover the truth of it, you will find that it is not a difficult thing. It is much more difficult to discover or manufacture the evidence to support what isn't true. Lying is the more arduous art. The truth is much easier, but far more dangerous on occasion. Before Herzl and the boys worked the Dreyfus affair into the international tragedy that we know today, Arabs and Jews lived together in relative peace. That continued for a while, until the Zionists discovered that the Bible made mention that it's always open season for hunting and killing Arabs. That's the thing with so-called holy books. You can find anything you're looking for. This is all made all the more interesting, considering that the Bible, and most specifically the Old Testament, are works of gematria. You can find extensive corroboration for this, and it gives a deeper meaning to the interplay between the 22 major arcana of the tarot, spelling out magical languages, if you will. For years, I was fascinated with the tarot and its connections to astrology and the great work, which is the process of manufacturing the philosopher's stone. And it seemed to have something to do with the pineal gland. You ever get a ticklish sensation in the center of your forehead? Because of a certain consistent and hideous behavior on the part of the Zionist movement, many people simply reject the idea of Jewish mysticism as it relates to the Kabbalah. It has been further diminished by association with Madonna and the troglodytes, along with the duplicitous activities of the Bergs as they prostitute the mysteries of a higher order for personal gain. I want to mention Jacob's Ladder and ask you to keep it in mind. Jacob's Ladder runs up and through your spine. In occasional moments of personal rapture, I found myself climbing it as if it were a real ladder, mimicking the acting concert with an internal process of incremental elevation. For me, some number of these arcane techniques and procedures are real. Let me present something and see if it might not ring a bell or two with you. Anything that goes up can go down. Every positive good thing has a negative counterpart, and by polarization, they hold each other in place. Polarities are very essential in the world of duality, in the relative world. This is one reason why Advaita Vedanta holds forth a singular promise for those who can apprehend it. Let us turn now to the Kabbalah, which combines two books, the Sefer Yetzirah and the Sefer Zohar. The original intent of this marvelous system was wisdom and illumination. It has direct parallels to the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus. However, we live in a very materialistic age. I said earlier that anything that goes up can go down too. Let's bring back Jacob's Ladder and add in Kundalini and the human spine. Let's mention ageless wisdom and point out that there is only one force in the universe, and that force is given definition according to intention and direction. It is altogether possible to take rituals from the Kabbalah and turn them to other intentions, devices, and industries than it was intended for. What we have, ladies and gentlemen, is a reversed Kabbalah being used to manipulate the material plane. When you reverse the Kundalini, you also find that its power applies in either direction. This is the source of the sudden expansion of particular sexual practices and identities in the culture of the moment. Because we are on the verge of the opening of an ancient portal, both within and without, everyone is feeling some degree of Kundalini activity. This energy is also the sex energy. Due to the impressive impact of materialism on the human mind, decadence flourishes. There are all kinds of people who will take aggressive opposition to what I am implying here. In any case, it's either true or it isn't. Ageless wisdom is concealed by veils. The point of this is to assure the correct progression for the aspirant. As the aspirant passes certain tests, veils fall away. The higher mysteries of divine magic confer powers beyond the capacity of the ordinary human mind. When this is reversed, you have personalities like Stalin and Netanyahu and similar types appearing. The power of right use of the principles in any tradition of magical enterprise is always greater than the power of those who have perverted and bastardized it. Nonetheless, the keepers of the keys are vigilant to protect these processes and traditions because they can be very, very dangerous in the wrong hands. Personally, I stay away from the magical arts. If magic wants to happen spontaneously, due to an upwelling of love, compassion, or any of the virtues, then that's fine with me. To actively seek to perform it is not in my MOS. To paraphrase Arthur Edward Waite, when he commented on the difference between white and black magic, on the one hand, we have something that is certainly dangerous. On the other hand, we have something which may only be foolish. A new magic is coming down onto the planet, and the perversion of the principles of light are about to get their due. We're entering the realm of topsy-turvy. And the only reason this might distress anyone, besides those it is coming for, would be their attachment to what is being recycled for the coming age. Well, we've come to the end of the text portion of this week's transmission. I'll be going into more detail about the subject there. I'll be slipping into your ears in practically no time at all, so practice safe hearing. Aru! Well, there you have it. We were talking about magical practices in a general way and probably leaving the reader somewhat mystified as to what our reasons were. We haven't made anything particularly clear, but that's what the second half is all about. Whatever you're seeing, feeling, and fearing is being manipulated by magical agency. You may think you're dealing with suits and ties and fountain pens, men in uniforms, and commerce and trucks, rail cars, and the like rolling across the looted plain. You may think that it can all be explained in obvious ways, but that is not the case. Logical and reasonable rationales are put forward, but they are blinds. They are not what is actually happening. They are the results of what is being performed upon the minds and emotions of the people toward a particular end. Some time ago, by intention and through a series of accidents, certain systems of high magic were compromised by individuals and groups who used the information gained to institute negative schools of magic. Their purpose was to compromise governments, religions, and the marketplaces of the world. The point was to get all of these agencies to serve the intentions of these thieves. What we have seen over many hundreds of years is the result of this. Everything that is going on this planet is a result of magical wars performed upon the leaders and populations so that a handful of dark magicians might rule the planet. Unfortunately for them, there is a reset button that comes into play at regular intervals. We approach such a time again. What happens when the reset button is hit is that all of the power and force is removed from certain systems that have been in play for a long time. Rituals and words that had always been effective previously will no longer be effective. At the same time, every effort to make these systems work will lead to the exposure of those who have been working them. They won't be able to believe that the juice has been shut off, so they will keep pressing at their own reset buttons, which has since been changed into a light switch. Whenever a new avatar is coming, and it is he or his agent who pushes the reset button, everything is changed. The avatar is bringing the new systems and rituals that will forge a new world out of the ashes of the old. The avatar scours the inner planes where the real manipulators have been operating for such a time. He forces them outward so that they are compelled to take human form for the purpose of judgment. They occupy human bodies that meet their criteria and hijack the operation systems of the bodies. After that, they have nowhere to go until the time comes for the avatar to send them on their way. Some numbers of them are running around in human form at this very moment. They intend to cause as much trouble as possible before they are stopped. It might help to see it all in the context of a game. There are two competing forces at work. One side is allowed to steal certain cosmic information. This allows them to subvert the minds of most of the people on the game board, which is planet Earth. The object for both sides is to convert portions of the population to their service. The one side can offer the promise of material things. Most of the time, it is only the promise that is offered. The other side offers exit from the game board to another location. The game is made extremely complex because one can never be certain which institutions, industries, individuals, or anything, for that matter, have or have not been compromised. The only thing ever going on planet Earth is a war for the human soul. Everything is about this. A time comes when the final battle at the end of one age and the beginning of another is upon the horizon. There are bonus possibilities at this time. One could have been deep into the operations of the dark side and suddenly declare for the light. I'm speaking of sincere conversion here. You can well expect that many are going to falsely declare when faced with the real evidence of just what they are up against. One of the intentions of the game is to make conditions appear exceedingly grim. This is to test the faith and determination of all and to judge their readiness for either advancement or, well, what happens otherwise is that those who have demonstrated. Nah, it must be a coincidence. Anyway, those who have exhibited that they have more to draw them here than there will be sent to the moon for a new wardrobe of lives to be experienced for the following period of dramas on this planet, give or take 25,000 years. Everything, and I mean everything that happens here, is connected to the war for human souls. Some work to free them and some to ensnare them, and there is nothing more to it. Evidence is left lying around all over the place, but a certain clarity of sight is needed to see it, or even identify it as such. I mean, people look at the pyramids, but what are they seeing? They look at the Sphinx, but what are they seeing? They look at all manner of things, but what are they seeing? Are they looking at it or are they looking into it? Everything is part of the battle for human souls. One force presents its attractions and powers in the seemingly external world of the senses, and one force operates upon the inward consciousness of the game pieces. Because the game seems to be slanted in favor of the externals, a force of awakening is administered. This force of awakening is administered in increasingly larger doses as the climax approaches. The whole thing is made even more problematic because no one knows how they are going to get there, and no one knows how they are doing at any particular point except in certain exceptional cases. There's one thing that every player must remember, and that is that both sides of the war for human souls are answerable to the same single force. And that same single force controls both of them. Once this is understood and all of its implications, you may be certain you have won. Hand-wringing over how unfair it all seems and giving way to depression and despair is not the answer. You have to soldier on. And remember that the motive force for all you do is coming from the same power which created everything of which you are aware, and a great deal more than that as well. Don't sell yourself short. You were chosen for the position you occupy, so it serves to follow that you have what it takes to cross the finish line. And you can draw endlessly from the source according to your faith in it. Well, we have come to the end of this week's show. And I'll see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, embrace the sure and certain protection of what you cannot see, but which you know is everywhere around you. And learn to give way before the winds of change, so that you do not break. Aloha.
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun